Hi, welcome to the UCB Theater Podcast. This week we have a special edition of the UCB Theater Podcast. First of all, sitting next to me is Will Hines.
Yes, and sitting next to me is John Frusciante.
That's right, and sitting around us are some of the writers and cast and crew of the hit internet video...
Smash hit video, BP Spills Coffee. What's the exact title?
BP Spills Coffee, right?
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's great.
You haven't watched it yet?
No, I haven't got it. Eric forwarded me a copy. I haven't had a chance to see it.
Oh, that's too bad. You should really check it out.
How is it doing?
It's all right.
Yeah. No, it's like the most successful video that has ever been put out, certainly by this theater.
Right.
Maybe even both theaters, both coasts, whatever. It's like one of the biggest videos that that the UCB has ever been associated with. So we're all very excited about it. You guys did this very quickly a couple weeks ago, and now in the last 5 days it's been on YouTube, it's up to like 3.7 million views as of right now or somewhere around that. Is that right?
So That's right, baby.
We have co-writers and co-stars Gavin Spieler and Eric Tenoy. We have Kate McKinnon, who, of course, was one of the co-stars of the video, played the woman.
Can we have everybody say hello as we say their name? I like when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
So we have Gavin Spieler.
Hello!
You are a co-writer. You appear in it. We have Kate McKinnon.
Hi.
Kate is one of the performers. She's the woman in the wig who tries to set the table on fire. We have Eric Tenoy.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Yes, who plays the guy carrying all the coffee cups that spill.
And
right?
also co-wrote,
and co-wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Brandon Bassam.
Hello, everyone.
co-director.
Co-director.
And videographer. And then we have John Frusciante.
Hi.
Yes, co-writer and performer. And then me, who's just running the podcast.
Right.
John played the guy who was worried about his laptop.
Encroaching on his laptop. All right, so thanks for coming, everybody. So, we wanted to talk about this because it's such an exciting development, basically, for the video arm of the theater community. Brandon knows because for the past couple of years, we've been trying to develop like a video, I don't know what you call it, community, program, department, group.
Present.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to make a hit video. Brandon and I and a lot of people at this table have been in and made a bunch. You never know when it's going to come together. But it certainly came together for this one. So why don't we talk about...
Yeah.
You talk now.
Me? Okay. Actually, I'd be curious to ask you, Brandon, like, is there anything in particular you think about this created the viral aspect of it? Like, what was the element or elements about this?
Well, I mean, the topical element of it was that's something you can't predict. I mean, it was a good topical bit. To be this popular is crazy. Like, when Gavin first sent me and Pete an email asking us if we'd film it, as soon as we saw what it was about, BP Spills Coffee, like, that's going to be a hit. But my version of hit was, it'll be like 300,000 views, which is a huge hit for UCB Comedy.
Uh-huh.
But I figured, oh, that's it. This is a great idea. It's such a pure, simple idea that it's just so easy anybody can grasp it. But I did not predict it would be this big. We'd be on the news and things like that.
What news programs have you guys been on now, as of right now?
CNN.
Inside Edition as of
before this recording.
Rachel Maddow
Show, and then On the Record with Greta Van Susteren on Fox News.
But
they
cut it off before the Halliburton people walked in, right?
Yes,
that's what
they
did.
Yeah. Because it's co-owned by Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
And you can't have any. So what's the biggest hit? What was the biggest hit for UCB Comedy before
We've had
this?
Some big hits. Like,
right.
And also it depends how you define UCB Comedy. Like, there was, Brandon, do you remember this one? The brand new Obanian World that the LA guys did about a guy who wakes up, who goes into a coma before Obama is elected and wakes up halfway through it and the world is super perfect. Like, hilariously, sarcastically better.
Yeah,
that was
the very, very early days of YouTube.
Super early day. That was, like, a really big hit. That got, like, a couple hundred thousand hits on Funny or Die, I think, and around. Well, what else has been?
Well, David After the Divorce, I don't know if it's considered a UCB Comedy video, but on the UCB Comedy channel.
That's been the top video until now.
Yeah.
And that was just Chris Kula and Adam Pally.
But that wasn't a UCB-produced, like, comedy.
Wasn't that, like, super casual? Like, they just did, like, a parody of the David After the Dentist viral video?
They just did it on a lark and then just...
it's got almost 4 million views.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
The Wig Awards was a big one.
That's the thing. It's like, we've had so many really great, hilarious videos on UCB Comedy. It just so happens that this one... Like you hinted at, Brandon, just captured something.
Like lightning in a bottle. You can't predict it, that anything could be that big.
Mm-hmm.
when you try to predict someone's gonna be that big, you can never, you're always gonna be disappointed. So,
Kate, how many videos do you think you've appeared on in any kind of UCB related way, like whether it's for mod team or just being grabbed to be in a video even by UCB students?
I'd say about 15.
Yeah, I think it's more than that. I feel like Kate's one of the theater goes through phases of like certain actors start showing up like in a lot of the videos. We have so many great performers here, and Kate is definitely one of them.
Yeah,
who is, everybody wants you in their video, Kate.
Oh, you guys.
And
well, I'm so glad you called and decided to have a girl in the video. Yeah. I know, well, you didn't have to have a girl, so I'm very grateful.
We felt like contractually obligated to have one.
Sure, sure.
Well, do you want to talk about the origin of the video?
Yes.
Yes, good
that
idea.
Was a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
I was going to hand it over to Gavin.
Okay, go ahead, Gavin.
Well, we do a monthly sketch show called Beneath Christides, which you know because you've been to that show. And
you heard the previous podcast.
Right, yes, you all listened to the podcast before. And we were trying to do some video content for the stage show. So I was working with Todd Bieber and UCB Comedy for that. So we met just to get some video ideas. And we came up with, we were like, oh, we should do something about the oil spill. But it's too current, you know, like, because the show is not for over a month, probably the next Beneath Christides. So once we came up with that idea, it felt pretty easy. Like, we all immediately had, like, a million ideas and game moves off of that one idea. And after the meeting, And after the meeting, we were like, oh, we should write this up like immediately.
Right.
So
could you elaborate even more? Because I think one of the interesting things about this is how collaborative it is. Like, sure. There's four co-writers, and you got Brandon and Pete Schultz were the directors and editors of this. And then, you know, Bieber, I know, I think, had some comments about editing. I mean, a lot of people were involved with this one. So why don't we, I think it's interesting how sometimes that cannot work. You can all get in each other's way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we lucked out in that, you know, everyone was able to contribute something, and everyone had a different sort of voice, which I think makes the video better, you know, rather than it just being sort of one person's idea. There's a lot of different things in there that appeal to different people. But also, I'd say everyone who's like credited on the video did contribute a lot to it. You know, all the writers pitching ideas, the editors and directors, like, there's no one who's just like, oh, they were there, so we put their name
on
it.
All right, whatever. Whose idea was it?
I think it really came out of the room. I pitched an idea.
It was your
about
pitch,
BP,
yeah.
But it wasn't this idea. So,
your idea that was so great?
Mine was.
I'm trying to make this confrontational.
It was BP farts, which Eric's idea.
Which I think will also be a viral hit.
That would have gotten twice as many.
Actually, it was a BP breakfast cereal. I think that leaked oil, and then we moved as a group into a discussion about BP breakfast products, and I think that's what led into coffee. And then we were in that room, so we were like, oh, what if we just spilled coffee on this table?
Right.
I think, like, logistically, like, the way we wrote it, it was like, I've never written like that before. I've written sketches with other people, but I think we lucked out in that it was like, we literally, like, this person did a draft, emailed it, the next person looked at it, did a draft, emailed it, and we kept going around. And it was, like, definitely, we were lucky that we had four people who, like, loved the idea but weren't too attached to their version. Like, everyone was, like, very open to, like, things being cut that didn't work, like, new jokes being added. Like, it was cool if, like, if I wrote something and the next person improved upon the joke, like, it was just, like, accepted. There was no, like, I really want that kind of part in, you know, like...
Yeah, so. Except when you cut my fart jokes out, I got to do
that. Well, because it's a different sketch.
Yeah, it went to Eric as a four-page sketch and came out as an eight-page sketch with the BP farts section attached.
Because 3 pages was just one fart.
No, but it was. It's true. It was a great, really awesome collaborative process that I think speaks to, like, it felt like a UCB thing in there. You know, it felt like this is exactly what we have all learned and what we all do is to be able to work with each other and to build on each other's ideas.
And the actors contributed also. I think, like, the bit where they're going back and forth between map, laptop, fish.
Right.
They just improvised that.
That was Kate. Yeah. What we were doing on some of the takes when we were shooting it was we wouldn't yell cut. We were done shooting, but we just let's see what the actors would do next. We wouldn't yell cut. And Kate kind of came up with that. Then everybody in the room immediately was like, that's great. Let's work that in. So then we built the scene.
Yeah, that's the part that I can't remember. I could always go back and look at the script, but I haven't. But was the boom stuff your... was that in the script, or the like saying boom when you put your arm down, Kate?
Eric Scott's told me to do that.
Oh, he did? Okay.
But I don't know. I don't think it was in the script. I think he came up with it the day
after. Yeah, on the shoot, he was like, she should say boom.
And then I really ran with it and turned it
into something beautiful. I do think, Kate, you have a talent for taking even the simplest line and turning it into like a laugh point in a way that's not intrusive. Like, I feel like even when you call Halliburton in, when they're like, when you say the boys from Halliburton are here or something like that, send them in, like with this weird combination of exasperation and like relief that is somehow sarcastic. I think it's hard to hit that note. I think it's like really hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
But everyone did. Like Kevin Cragg's first line in the video is like so awesome. And Kevin Cragg is so awesome. It was such a, you know, he's a guy who has been in the scene in New York for like a long time and is great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that I am excited about with this video is that it's a mix also of, you know, UCB talent that you see a lot, like Kate, who's awesome, and so we put in everything. But then also people, just to kind of show the depth of talent that comes through this theater, like people like Kevin Cragg, who's hasn't been in as many videos other than, you know, the hit Kindle Boner. That,
Kindle Boner? Well, that's yours, Eric. Yeah. Six farts, Kindle Boner. You're like one of the smartest people I know, but you're like a writer for the Benny Hill Show, takes over your body once a month.
But I mean, I think it does. It does show the sort of the depth of talent that passes through the theater and is exciting that way.
Kevin Cragg, what were we saying? Kevin Cragg would be the funniest famous person that we know because he's such like a curmudgeon.
Yeah. He would not be interested in the fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be annoyed.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was a thrill to have those people. Like, Zubin is another guy.
Oh, right, right.
I think is a hilarious guy, and I think doesn't get as much exposure.
Zubin was Halliburton.
Zubin was the Halliburton guy, yeah. And I would laugh every time that guy would walk into the room during the shooting. You know, he's just this. He's got a gift for delivering kind of straight man lines.
And then something else that I feel like makes the video successful is that it seems to be open to interpretations. Like, I've seen a lot of conservatives posting on the YouTube channel who love it because they're like, that guy representing Obama out there eating the bagel really shows how little he's done.
That is an amazing...
That's a very popular theory on it. Yeah, that Eric Scott represents Obama.
Just kind of indifferently looking on, really? Sort of like that?
That's a very popular... Even though he's clearly called the public.
Yeah.
There's not really that much room for interpretation on the video. Everything's very much where it is, but no, people are like, that guy is Obama standing there doing nothing.
And then I've also read an interpretation that Kevin Costner represents James Cameron.
Not Kevin Costner?
No.
What?
Because James Cameron also wanted to help out with cleaning it up. And right. People who heard about that but not about Kevin Costner assumed he was a stand-in. I've also seen that Kevin Costner represents Obama because he can't help. Like, he's useless.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I think, like any great work of literature, you know, it's open to various interpretations. And through the years, people have put different, you know, you can put a feminist spin on it. I have actually read that Kate's character is the only one who's actually trying to help. So good thing there's a woman in the room to help out. Like, those guys aren't doing anything.
Except that one guy does construct a device and try to do it, which is no more or less effective than what Kate does.
Yeah, but he seems disinterested. I guess she seems the most, like, interested in solving the problem.
Well, I think that's more of a comment on their acting.
Okay, yeah.
I think somebody's taking a slight by that.
I'm making this interpretation.
One person in the room is making very strong, clear choices, and the rest of us are kind of winging it, kind of throwing.
Well, the conservative opinion is that this actor's got a good backstory, and this character has just been left out to dry.
The other thing that I like is the people have noticed that Eric Scott's character, who's outside, is still eating that bagel 47 days later.
They're upset at the continuity of that?
Yeah. Right. Well, I think that we didn't actually write that until after we had shot it, so we weren't planning for that to be 47 days later.
Yeah.
But it's like accidentally has become a symbolic thing. We're like, wow, the public is still just preoccupied with their bagels and not worried about this oil spill.
We should have had him hold a circus in the other hand, so it would be bread and circuses that he's distracted by.
It is strange to have any kind of political video, anything that goes anywhere near a political topic, able to be seen as fun. I mean, it's like a really serious event that we're talking about, and one that people have passionate opinions about, I guess, on both sides. I don't know how anybody could take BP's side, but I guess someone out there is on there.
Well,
I guess
America's addicted to oil, and they are going to get it for us. So
that's right.
You should stop driving
cars. God, we love oil. The rest of the world hates it, but we can't get enough.
BP is just helping us out, guys.
Yeah, you're right.
But like, you know, it's a little bit, it's less preachy. It invokes less, like, preachiness. I mean, you guys are talking about... People seem to be more like, that's hilarious, is the first reaction, rather than using it as a soapbox opportunity.
Well, I think, like, part of that is because, like, that's what we observe. Like, what the public observes through, like, reading the papers is like, oh, they keep trying all these things, and it's not working. So that's, like... That's like,
wait, know, what's the public saying?
The public's like, oh, boy, look here. Oh, boy, I don't know about this.
What's what's the public's opinion when it gets a card saying it has a dentist appointment?
They're like, oh no, I'm still gonna eat lollipops anyway.
What decade does the public live in?
The 30s. They wear baseball caps backwards.
The dead kids. That's
America. But you know, like that's like kind of their perception. So to just like find a fun way, like to, because even if it wasn't like spilling coffee, I think like you kind of see like. When you think of the executive, like BP, you think like these guys fumbling around the room like, at this point, you know what I mean? Even if it wasn't that specific, you know, the coffee specific. So I think it was like definitely there's like funny, ridiculous moves in there, but it was also like, oh yeah, totally. You know, like that's what I see. Like,
yeah, I think when we wrote it, it wasn't like, how can we really make fun of BP or this situation? It was this really just this yes and of the game that we came up with, you know, and just throwing out all these moves. But just like with anything else, people will, no matter what video it is, if it even has like a hint of politicalness to it, people will start to break into political debates and discussion on YouTube comments, because YouTube commenters are some of the worst people in the world.
Oh God, there's nothing that puts me in a worse mood than reading a bunch of comments on YouTube.
Except for those of you who are watching the video, who we appreciate.
Of course, you guys are great.
There have been a lot of people, and this is what surprised me, is that the response to the video has been mostly positive. Now, the more hits that it gets, the wider the breadth of those like assholes are that are just picking political arguments. But it's been surprisingly mostly ha ha ha, that was hilarious, dead on, this is exactly what's happening, etc.
I feel like the biggest common criticism I've seen in the YouTube comments is, well, what's your solution, guys?
We have no right to complain about deep water
drilling.
That will be in the second video that we do. We have a solution.
Right. If you actually solved the crisis, that'd be the only way to get more views in the next video.
Right.
It's like they.
I don't think it would get more views.
It wouldn't be funny, just useful.
That's true. Yeah, well, if somebody throws a bunch of money at us to go down there and try to solve the problem, we'll definitely take it.
That would kind of be like the ultimate victory if we put out a ridiculous YouTube video and people were like, solve it, and then we immediately went down there and somehow solved it.
You're all coptered down, like grabbing one like weird trapeze thing from the bottom of a...
Yeah, like we're
back
like...
at you, Rockstar 777. Fucker.
One thing, I forwarded this to you guys this morning, but I thought one that was funny was the Vancouver Sun had an article that was like, BP coffee spill, too funny or too soon? And the person who wrote it to me was like clearly like thought it was funny but didn't want to say that it was funny, so it was like more a spin of like, what do you think, reader, instead of saying like, this is how I feel about the video.
It's one of those like objective journalists can't be like, this video is hilarious. They just be like, people are talking about this video.
Yeah. Right. What's your comment on that this is hilarious?
And they also want traffic to their site, so they know if they post it that people will come to their site and there'll be debate.
You were talking about the fact that they said, is it too soon? Reminded me that when we wrote it, there was a slight concern. Like, we better finish this fast, because if they solve this oil leak, this video won't be relevant.
Right.
Your priorities went totally wrong.
They could solve this
thing
next week. And,
We were all kind of crossing our fingers that Top Kill would fail, right? Is that right? Because that's what they were doing.
You guys
are
really excited about that.
To me, the video is so special because it really harkens back to the origins of comedy in the Western world. No, I'm serious. The playwright Aristophanes was a political satirist.
Was he?
Yes.
Like the frogs?
Like the frogs, exactly. The origins of comedy really were just taking pot shots at people in authority, and I think that's exactly what is so special about this video and why people have responded in the way that they have.
You sound ridiculous. The origin of comedy is about making fart jokes about whatever corporation is in the news. Have you taken Eric Tenoy's sketch class?
But you know, it's people who have more power than we who are fucking things up farting.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Bam. If you're making fun of some poor schlub's fart, it's like not funny.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I could be that poor schlub.
Well, I think that's a big, that's something the Onion guys will say a lot. If you talk to guys who write for the Onion or do something, it's like, who's your target? I feel like that's a question they ask a lot. Do you have the right target? And I do think part of the reason for the huge success is just the satisfaction of seeing these guys look like buffoons. Like, the actual angle of your point is a little, I don't know, like, what we're saying. Are we just saying they're incompetent? Because that's not really what's happening. They're just neglectful, and I think not maybe not even trying or didn't care about it or had other priorities or something like that?
I mean, I think the biggest criticism that you can make of them is that they're completely unprepared for this. As a company that does deep water drilling, you would think they would have some sort of plan in case it went wrong, but they don't. You know, so while it is like we're portraying them as incompetent, I think what really is going on is like they just had no idea that this might happen. So in our video, they had no idea that the coffee would spill.
Sorry. No, and for me, it's also, it's just really about wealth. It's about the how neglectful these people are with, they have so much money. The company just has so much money.
Disgusting.
And poor people are being effed and killed, and their seafood is being poisoned.
Can we say effed on this show?
You can go the whole, all the rest of the letters
the whole
if
fuck
you wish.
It. Yeah. you can go the full fuck on the UCB podcast.
If I can bring it down for a second.
Yeah.
Seriously, though. We did want to target the boardroom of BP because there were workers who were killed in the
initial.
And
of course.
Also, the ongoing disaster is damaging a lot of people's lives. So we didn't want to make fun of that issue as much as the people at BP who were neglected.
But I think part of the reason for its success is the satisfaction of seeing them ridiculed. Like, people just are so angry at that company and what it represents to them. Not even what it represents, what they are and what they represent. That just seeing them, you just want to laugh at them so much. Like the idea of them just being baffled at how a paper towel works is somehow hilarious.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about like the spill itself. Like, but you do, like you're saying, like you do want, you want, you're like, I want you to know that you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It's like the satisfaction.
There's like justice.
You know,
I think on some level you want them to have seen it, which they maybe have seen.
They must have. Yeah, and I do get a little bit of a thrill out of the possibility that they have watched it.
Because, I mean, they are great villains because nobody can take their side. They're like Nazis. They're like,
well, Rush Limbaugh.
Not like, but they should be the villains of the next raid.
Comedically, like they're inarguably like on the wrong
nobody's,
side.
On either side, no Republican, Democrat.
It's like during the presidential race when you want to attack a certain candidate, it's difficult because that's somebody's candidate.
Right.
They've made it to be accepted far enough to be nominated, so it's rare that you would get like, there's no argument.
Yeah, it's like Doctor Doom in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, there's not. Yeah.
Well, Doom's got a point. I mean,
here's an interesting a thing that's interesting to me to take it from the politics to the more comedic, kind of nerdy part of it. The idea of it is not like we didn't take the oil spill and heighten the situation. It was more of like a de-heightening, like a simplification of the situation. And I think that is a kind of interesting.
Well, I think Brandon has done a million videos and has seen a million web videos. So, I mean, you guys have all seen a lot and done a lot, I know. But I guess, I don't know why, because Brandon's a video dude, so I looked to him for this. But, like, it's a common web video technique, the lo-fi, deliberately lo-fi take on something. Because if you're doing a web video, you probably don't have a budget for something that's more ambitious.
Yeah.
So like to kind of like just do the small, well, what you're saying, John, like a small version of it is a common and successful way to do it. I plan on ripping that off soon myself in other videos.
Also, I think the main thing about the video, lots of jokes. Political stuff always usually just somebody making like a pointed statement and they think that's like enough. Like these guys put tons and tons of jokes in the video. Like it's nonstop jokes from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
Like very clear,
it's easy to underestimate your joke density when you're writing a script. You get like three, you're like, oh, thank God, let's shoot it. I mean, I've done it.
Yeah, I've noticed that I've done that too in my sketches, and I noticed that in a lot of sketches that I see and that I read is that you find a game, and then you're more interested in making game moves than in filling it in with jokes, you know? And of course, like we train people to make game moves and find game and play it, but I think those jokes that you find that are related to the game are just as important, if not more important.
And then I think another element that adds to its success is that it's under 3 minutes, which was important, I think, as we were trimming it down.
Let's talk about that, too, because here's the other thing. Just again, to how impressive I think that the collaboration is, how impressive it is that the collaboration works so well is because I've seen collaborations of this size generally not work well. In fact, I usually think that it's better if there's only, like, two cooks at most, three, just because, you know, committees tend to water stuff down to, like, the middle. You tend to like be scared of any risks. So I'm curious about each step of the way how things got better. Like you're saying, Eric, the ending wasn't written in the script. Kate, you're pointing out how Eric suggested the boom line and then you kind of were playful during the take and that got built into a moment. I'm sure there were things in the edit. I'd like to hear like at each step what, looking back, be like, oh, this was a good idea that we did this. That was a good idea that we did this.
Well, I will say, though, in terms of having four writers, which can be difficult, I think it did work out that along most steps, somebody was always not there. Like, like on the Saturday, I think that we wrote it, Eric Scott was unavailable, but then he came in Sunday and was able to like look at it again. So rather than have four people like emailing back and forth, which would have gotten crowded, I think most of the time there was like only three people doing something, and then the next day like somebody else would be gone, somebody else would step in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was also important that when we, at each phase of the writing, it was not a thing of like, well, I don't think this works. Can we try it this way? It was like, oh, this is great. Let's see what we can add to this, you know?
Like more yes-oriented than no-oriented?
Right, more like I think, Gavin, when you got it, you restructured it in a way where it, like, heightened more,
right.
You know? Yeah. And then there were, you know, and of course, added jokes to it. And I think I put in a couple of jokes here and there, and Eric Scott did some really great tightening of the script and shaping of it. So at every step of the way, it wasn't like, well, I read your version of the script. I don't think that's the idea that we're going for. I think
Yeah, talk more about that, Gavin, because as overseeing Beneath Christie's, and I think that show has gotten so, it was already good, and it's gotten so much better under your helm.
Thank you.
Helmsmanship, and I think it's a lot because you're good at mediating collaboration done quickly. Like, you don't have a lot of, like, the Dan Greger reading Rainbow videos were so hilarious. Mm-hmm. That was his script, I think?
That was Nate Smith.
Oh, Nate Smith. Yeah. Okay, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's like, easier on a specific sketch. Like, sketches, like, I feel like they fall apart if you're not clear on what the game is. Like, if you have different takes on, like, why this is funny, what's funny about it. But, like, in this one, we definitely, like, we all knew exactly how we wanted to play it, right? So, like, when somebody pitched a joke, it wasn't a question of, like, that doesn't fit in. Because we all knew exactly, like, how we were playing
whether it's funny or not.
Yes, exactly. Or, like, I think, like, maybe, like, the only, like, if to be honest, like, there were a couple times, like, where, like, I thought, like, oh, maybe this is, like, a little, like, they're a little too aware, like, the characters were a little too aware that it was funny. Right. I think it was, like, something, like, maybe I had a concern with at some point, but it was never, like, I don't like that joke. You know what I mean? I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did.
I spoke to it at all. Well.
And then just to run through a timeline of how it went down, it was, like, Friday at noon was our meeting for the Beneath Christie's videos that we were working on. We came up with this there, and that meeting finished around 2 or 3. And we talked to Todd about it right after the meeting, and he was like, I'm going to be out of town this weekend. This was Memorial Day. So he suggested that we contact Pete and Brandon.
Yeah.
So Friday night, we started trading scripts. We started emailing the script around, and, like, we would take different paths at it. I think on Saturday, you got in touch with Brandon and Pete, Gavin?
I think
or Friday night?
Sunday. I was probably, yeah, was so, it? Oh, so, yeah.
when was it?
Sunday.
Oh, wow, so the day before.
Yeah, the day before we shot. Pete was actually out of town and came back early.
Really?
Yeah, like, so we were like, I don't know. But then if Gavin had sent the idea, we probably might not have done
it. I'm so excited that you guys were the ones that got to, because you've been such the workhorses of, like, I think literally there are 50 million videos in the UCB comedy site that either Brandon Bassam or Pete Schultz have worked on.
And it looks awesome, too. Like,
which, since Pete's not here, I have credit. Pete's
sorry, Eric, you want to go with the timeline?
I'll just finish that. But, they were great. And then I think, like, Saturday and Sunday, we were contacting cast members.
Right.
And I think we checked with the Beneath Christie's cast first, which is when Kate got involved. And then Nat Friedberg was also out of town. He was in Boston, and he came back a day early to do it, which is great, because for a video where you're not paying anyone, it's amazing that so many people would be like, I'll change my holiday weekend plans.
Yeah.
So then we shot it Monday morning. Luckily, the training center was closed that day for classes, so we had the whole space to ourselves. We shot it, and then we hadn't cast Kevin Costner. He was in the script, but we hadn't even thought about who would play him, because he wasn't on screen. And then Pete and Brandon were doing
we
were, a shoot.
We shot
him.
Another video that night that Rob was in, so we're like, we'll have Rob Latham do it since we're shooting with him anyway.
Yeah.
That worked out great because Rob Latham's hilarious and also another one of the like contributors to a bunch of UCB comedy videos. And then we spent like a week editing it, I think.
How long was the first cut?
It was, I think, 4 minutes.
I think
it was close to 4 minutes.
350.
And I think I was like, this is great. Yeah. Like, this is what you
I will admit a little bit in terms of collaboration here. I think all of us were afraid to be like, cut this more because we hadn't done any work editing and Pete had done all that work editing.
That's true.
Well, Pete was, we knew it needed to be like shorter, but he didn't want to be the one to cut anybody's lines because we didn't know anybody that well. Like, well,
so this is where collaboration a lot of times will fall short. So what happens here?
So I think this is where Todd came in. Todd was back in town at this point, and I cut to him. I was like, can you like take a look at this and suggest cuts? I don't think anyone will reject any of your ideas. Mm-hmm. I think we all know it needs to be cut.
Yeah.
But everyone's afraid to suggest cuts because we forgot who wrote what jokes, and we don't want to be like, let's cut that person out or cut that joke out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Todd came up with a whole list of cuts, and that, yeah, I think, brought it down to like 2.5.
Yeah, and you're right. This is where, like, towards the end is the only time where it got kind of weird and, like, not weird, uncomfortable, but just, like, who is making the calls here? Because, like, I know Eric and I had ideas about, like, what should be cut, and, like, I know Gavin had ideas, and I know Todd had ideas, and you guys, everybody had different ideas of what it should be. But it was, like, we weren't all in the same room talking about it, so it's like, how are we going to communicate this, and what should we communicate, and what should happen? And then we were kind of emailing back and forth over a few days about this and that, and finally I think we all just agreed to, like, just leave it to Todd's discretion, because he was kind of an outside party.
Mm-hmm. So what, he suggested some cuts to Pete?
Yeah, he just said, I mean, Pete had some ideas in mind, yeah, but it is one of those things where, like, well, these aren't guys we work with a lot. So,
yeah,
like, when me and Pete work together, we don't care. Like, mm-hmm, we'll cut each other's stuff. We just,
right,
don't, and it's just, mm-hmm, no hurt feelings. But and when people you don't know that well, it's always kind of iffy to, like, tell
somebody. And you're a little, like, bit in a work-for-hire position.
Yeah, you're and it wasn't, our, it wasn't our scene. Yeah. I mean, like, we would like to work on it, but it wasn't our thing. So, like, well, let's leave it up to them to do it. So it's good to have Todd to come in. Somebody at the end of the day has to be the guy and be, okay, here's how it goes. Since, yeah, Todd was outside, nobody could be, like, upset, really.
He does that a lot. I mean, he runs UCB Comedy. Yeah. We've worked with Todd, Brandon, people here have worked with him, and he very frequently is a guy that has to look at a cut and say, at minute 30, take this take out or start this
minute
cut.
Minute 30 is a bad.
Most of my videos are 35 minutes long. I say, you know what, you guys cut this too short. I'll say it right now. I think most comedy videos are not funny until minute 30. I think The Wire is one of the funniest comedy videos that I've ever seen, and you guys don't get it.
That's, you think, fine. It's one collective video? Yeah.
That's one video. I can't wait for this video to keep going. I'd wait for the next season to start of the video.
And Todd does have great instincts for stuff like that. He's really able to, like, hone in on, like, this is how it should flow, this is what it needs, you know, this is where it's fatty.
It's also, Pete Schultz is the one that made this look so great, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's fun, over the years, to have seen him become more sophisticated as a cinematographer. Yeah. Like, he's always just done a huge volume of stuff, but there was, like, a lot of pretty sophisticated, like, over-the-shoulder cut, I mean, for something that was shot pretty quick.
It was pretty amazing, because they came in that morning, and I don't even know how far in advance they read the script, but watching them both...
I read the script that morning. Yeah. I knew the premise, and the premise sold me.
But then just watching them look at it and break it down, and they like, told us, they're like, you guys have to get some chocolate syrup for the coffee. Like, they figured out all of the technical side. But also, just in terms of while they were shooting it, I think they had a sense of how they would edit it, which was very helpful. So, like, the earlier scenes, they did more takes of, because, you know, they didn't want to be able to cut. And then towards the end, everything was just one take, I think, because they knew it was going to be very rapid. But having them be able to break it down like that and figure out the pacing of it in a more visual sense, I think, like, we had an idea of the pacing on the page, but they were really able to look at it and be like, well, here's how this is going to look, and shoot it that way.
Even things like when Jubin first enters the Halliburton guy, like, the joke is, oh, here's Halliburton, this will be funny. And then right behind him is a tray full of cups. It's like, you know that they're going to spill any second. It's somehow like an awesome timing.
That's one that we had to come up with on the spot. Because they're supposed to knock over, I think, a table of...
A cup of Joe container. Cup,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we couldn't figure out how to do that, so Eric just grabbed a tray of cups. Yeah. And we tried to, like, what's the best way we can make this land on the table?
It's way more slapsticky, which I like.
That point in the video, yeah, it's time. It's chaos. Just everything should be funny.
Given though. Your representation of the American public, I feel like they want slapstick, Gavin.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, boy. something's going to happen with that tray of coffee.
Wait, now is the public Edith Bunker?
The public is a troop of vaudeville performers.
Boy, don't wait a YouTube.
One thing that I do want to discuss that I think is a really good educational point for everyone listening is the lack of availability of golf balls in this area, in the 30th Street area. Eric Scott apparently had no luck finding any kind of golf ball.
Well, I will call it up. He was supposed to bring a golf ball. Yes. He was in charge of golf ball.
We had a list of props. He's like, can't help out. Got a golf ball.
And I will say also, Gavin had a golf ball at home, didn't bring it, because he's like, Eric Scott's taking care of this golf ball.
Yeah. I'm not going to carry a golf ball. All in a train center. Bullshit.
So then he went to Kmart and asked if they had golf balls, and they were like, no, we don't.
Wait, so he had a golf ball at home?
Yeah, he couldn't forgot
find
to bring it.
No, I think he couldn't find it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Kmart was like, all we have are, you know, Memorial Day sporting event goods. So they brought us, they got us ping pong ball.
Let me ask you, Kate, when you read the script, like, what's the, this is a nerdy acting question, okay?
Sure.
That's, because that's what we do here.
Bring it.
was there any, like, what is your approach when you read a script like that?
Just touch the inside of Gavin's thigh.
Caress the inside of the thigh.
Sure.
This is a podcast / cuddle party. We get kind of bacchanalian here.
Well, if you, you know, you read, it was a female executive, so you, you just have to assume some things about a female executive. She's probably in her 40s or 50s, probably is sort of stuffy, probably has a lot of money. You know, you can assume things like that about a person and then come up with, I always use a character voice, so I just came up, I just pulled out my standard, you know, executive woman voice, and then I showed up without a wig, because I hadn't been at my house the night before.
Oh,
okay.
And what would the American public think about that?
They'd be like, "Whoa, hot potato!"
And so, then I was like,
not a phrase.
A female executive wouldn't have long blonde hair like I do, so I ran across the street to get a wig. Here's another useful teaching tool. There is a wig store, wonderful wig store, right across the street from the training center. And if your hair is not correct for the person, you need different hair, so you should run across and get a wig,
which is
open on Memorial Day.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Brandon and Pete Schultz Video Productions open on Memorial Day. Nat Friedberg acting services open on Memorial Day, and wig store on 30th Street.
I'm now picturing Kate's apartment as just like full of wigs.
I do have 15 wigs.
Wow, so there's a golf ball sitting in Eric Scott's apartment that could have been famous, and some wig in Kate McKinnon's apartment that should have been a star.
How sad.
What's the character voice, Kate? What's that woman speak like?
Oh, just like that.
How is that an executive voice?
You know, uptight and kind of probably wealthy. I don't know. Don't pester me.
Excuse me, miss. The American public has some complaints about our business practices.
Don't let them up the elevator.
So in case people are wondering, wow, why are these guys are really excited about this video and talking a lot about it. I mean, and if for the sort of a cynical preemptive answer, like, it was so exciting to see this video rocket up in view. And first of all, it crashed the UCB servers. We put it on the UCB comedy server to begin with, and it crashed servers like right immediately, right? Like within like 6 hours or something?
Pretty soon after. Gavin, do you want to talk about that? You were
In South Carolina for Torco all week with a bunch of people, and Neil Casey, who like, What's his title?
He's technology czar.
He's like in charge of the website.
And funniest person in New York.
In addition to that. While the website crashed. So he was miserable for 2 days. In front of his computer, like getting calls because nothing was working.
There's nothing you can do in this situation. Yeah. When the traffic overwhelms your hardware, there's nothing you can do except get more hardware. And really, in short term, you can't do anything.
But he's at, and I'm assuming this because I wasn't there. This is a beach house full of like performers having a blast, drinking, hanging out.
Yeah.
And he's stuck.
I'm picturing like Hard Day's Night going on behind him, and he's like, ooh, like just typing away frustrated.
And we put it up on YouTube, so like people kept seeing the video, and I kept getting good news, like, oh, it's going to be on this news.
Wait, I'm going to interrupt you because I want to explain this beginning. When you put it up on UCB Comedy, all of our web servers are together. Our email server, our classes server, the site that lists the shows for the theater, and the video server are all kind of linked in sharing hardware. So when the BP coffee spill got linked, I think on Huffington Post was the first one.
Consumerist.
Okay, the Consumerist. Whatever the first couple blocks to link it, they were embedding the UCB Comedy's version of it. That hosed the video site right away. That's happened now and then. We've had like things going Gizmodo. But then, like, it was so, well, Gizmodo's a blog.
Gizmodo.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. I thought.
Don't believe.
No, really, it's an actual site. And but then it took down everything. Like, our email went down. We couldn't put classes up. People couldn't register for classes on Wednesday.
Yeah, I was scheduled to put classes online Wednesday at 5 p.m., which is also pretty popular. The whole site went down. So they couldn't register for classes, but they also couldn't read the message board, and I couldn't post to the message board to be like, sorry, we're not registering classes. Our site's down.
We're so dependent on our website to communicate.
All we had was, like, the telephone and people just calling in to be like, I'm trying to get into classes.
Yeah. So then Todd immediately starts uploading it to YouTube. Now I think that's when I
So it kept doing better and better, and we were like, oh, it's going to be on Rachel Maddow, it's going to be on, like, there's going to be, like, all this good news and stuff, and Neil was, like, so upset, like, he couldn't even do the shows we were supposed to do because he couldn't leave the house, like, for two nights, like, he had to be in front of his computer, and so, like, I would walk by him, and I would, like, I couldn't be like, oh, my YouTube video's doing so well.
Yeah, you couldn't walk by and be like, it's going to be on another show!
Because he would have been like, of course, I could have, because he's a super nice guy, and he's just as happy for us as anybody.
It's the worst timing. Like, the moment he goes on vacation, the biggest video in the history of the, it is sort of almost hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, there's been no higher demand on the servers than occurred than like 12 hours after Neil Casey goes on vacation. Right, the first thing I noticed, I mean, I've seen a lot of videos try to, and I had no idea this was going to be that popular, but with Eric, Eric pointed out to me that people were tweeting it a lot. So I started searching Twitter. We were sitting in the office and like Elizabeth Banks tweeted it. We were like so excited, like when celebrities would retweet the
Alyssa
video.
Alyssa Milano also tweeted about it later.
Yeah.
And Dave Coulier.
What a weird collection of celebrities. That's our next podcast. If we get the three of them in here, it'd be amazing. Just that. What do you guys like to tweet?
Well, I think that's also like a technology or a site that wasn't around when we've had previous hits to be able to track that. And just you can go into Twitter and search for like popular phrases.
But that's when it was first apparent how big it was going to be. It's like you would search and just like there was always a new page of people who had retweeted
it. Every minute it was being tweeted. Even up until like, what is Thursday when it went up? Like even like Saturday night, like 5 in the morning, it's still being tweeted every minute. Like it was nonsense.
And at one point, Neil took all the videos down from the server and just embedded the YouTube copy of our video on the front page of UCB Comedy, just trying to satisfy the demand so that our video servers weren't streaming anymore.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was completely, I'm sure, frazzled.
Yeah, he was.
It's not a program. I mean, the hardware wasn't ready for it. He couldn't, I'm not trying to, like, point finger. I was feeling sympathetic for him as a guy who's in computer programming.
Absolutely.
It was a disaster in that sense. Whoops.
If Dave Coulier saw it, do you think there's any possibility that Alanis Morissette saw it, or did he not speak anymore?
I think she probably didn't hear it from him, but, like, friends of friends, sort of, like, one degree removed, probably.
Yeah, do you think that they follow each other?
I think that Coulier probably passed it on the cast of You Can't Do That on Television, who passed it to, like, Alan Thicke, who probably passed it to
Alanis Morissette. Everybody checks up on their exes and sees what they're doing.
That's true. Yeah. And she just got married, so.
I didn't know they were a couple.
Yeah, that's what you ought to know is about.
Who do you think Dave got Coulier? The blowjob in the theater?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. No way he deserves that sort of
demo. Is that for real?
Yeah,
that's for real.
Why was she with him?
They're both Canadian celebrities.
So mean to Dave Coulier.
He deserves it. You're not the only one to say that.
Yeah, you can't
trust
do that
me
on television. That's
and this was well, she was he she was on, not she was not a famous rock star at that point.
He was like a big actor, famous actor. He was a little bit older. She was like an up and coming pop star.
Oh,
he
know
was
what?
Much more famous.
You know what? Who's Dave Coulier? Wait, who's Dave Coulier?
He's from Full House. He was
Dave
Coulier was on Out of Control at the same time that You Can't Do That on Television was popular. Yeah. They were both comedy shows on Nickelodeon.
Okay.
They probably met at some office party, you know.
I'm picturing they start talking about Toronto or like the, I don't even know, or like good pollution policies.
They're in Canada, so I'm sure that Toronto
that's it, just like everybody in America talks about New York all the time.
Yeah.
So that was exciting to see that explode. And then Rachel Maddow, you know, showed the video and gave it, like, not just the video, but the whole theater, the most glowing review that even more than we've ever said about this place.
Yeah. I've never said that about myself.
Yeah.
And I think highly of myself.
I was surprised when she showed the whole video. That was really what
I never
was amazing
see that happen
to me.
It was such an awesome thing.
Yeah. I heard from somebody. I was at a play that night, and I came out, and I checked my email, and some girl that I haven't talked to since college emailed me and was like, I just want to let you know I work on the Rachel Maddow show, and I'm cutting together some of your video for a segment. Don't tell anybody. Because it might get cut. And then I checked the rest of my email, and that had been so earlier in the night that all of you guys were like, I just saw it teased on Rachel Maddow, holy shit, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So it was really a big thrill to go home and watch it and watch her, like you said, just call us all, what did she call us?
Freakishly talented.
Freakishly talented,
yeah.
And then the end of it was, behold the Upright Citizens Brigade, as if, like, you guys represented, like, the whole tribe. Mm-hmm. Marching over
now
the horizon of comedy.
Now we're talking about the UCB 13 instead of the UCB. It used to be the UCB 4, which was...
Who are they?
I think my dad has never seen me perform, but he did see this video. So my father has watched you all do comedy more than he's watched his own children.
And commonly the kinds of YouTube videos he sends around are like the history of dance.
My dad's only forwarded me two videos. The History of Dance, which is that guy who just like goes through all the dances. He was like, this is amazing. Sent me that video. And then whatever, 5 years later, this BP coffee spill video. He goes, this is great. I'm like, I know these guys. Its pervasiveness is pretty awesome. And then you did the CNN interview. How was that? Was weird, right? You guys were like in separate rooms. You couldn't hear each other.
God. I think you had the weirdest of all of our experiences.
I showed up, I think, earliest.
Well, first of all, what was this?
So we were going to be on CNN Newsroom with Don Lemon.
Don Lemon.
And I showed up first, and the producer was like, we're going to put you in separate rooms. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And so she put me into a room, and my room was dark. There was like only four... Four rectangular like TV lights, but no like above track lighting. No video monitor. All I could see was a digital like LED clock, and they put an earpiece in me, which had no sound for like 20 minutes. So I was just sitting in the room by myself. And then 20 minutes later, a different woman comes in and is like, is your earpiece working? I need to check. And I was like, I haven't heard anything. And she checked, and she's like, oh, no, it's working. They just don't have any sound coming through. So then I sat there for another 10 more minutes. And then eventually I started to hear sounds. But I never heard like a complete sound. Like I'd hear sounds come in, and I'd hear a voice be like, can you count to five? And I'd be like, are you talking to me? And he'd be like, yes, count to five. And so then I'd start counting to five. And I was terrified that I would be on camera at that point, and they would just like cut to me, and I'd just be counting. I had no idea like where we were in terms of when this show was on. Then I started to hear John and Kate's voices, but I could also hear people talking to them. And so where were you guys?
We were, I actually don't even know where in the building you were in relation to
Really, it was like, we were sitting there. It was like, it's like we'd
you
all
two
been,
sit here. You yeah. come with us.
It's like we've been like kidnapped by some Russian extremists. And I was like, where's my friend? I was like sitting there like, where is Tanoi? But we were in this other area that where behind us were like banks of cubicles and stuff like that. We were in the same room but separated by a partition on separate cameras. And I had a monitor and you had a monitor too, right, Kate?
Yes.
But there was this, also the other disorienting part of it was there was this audio delay of like a good, I don't know, 10 seconds or more. So I was watching on the monitor people talking, but hearing them like with this 5 or 10 second delay. So when the interview started, first of all, it started with him adjusting his cufflinks. He didn't even know the interview was starting. And then I would be watching him ask a question, see him finish the question, but I would still hear him asking the question in my earpiece. So that's what contributed to, along with us being in separate rooms and not being able to look at each other, it's what contributed to nobody answering a question and then everybody answering a question and then everybody shutting up at the same moment.
So it was, we were very much, it seemed like it was like a hostage situation.
Yeah.
And Eric's experience sounds like being in a womb. Like you hear people talking and you don't know what's going on.
Like a futuristic womb with like weird lights.
Blade Runner womb.
You said like, yeah, you're going to be on TV. Get in this club.
I also had this feeling, it reminded me of like interrogations in police movies where they separate everyone. It's like, oh, I don't know what John and Kate are saying.
Yeah.
Like, they could be giving me up right now.
Let's get the story on this video straight.
So what's next? You guys been asked to do a sequel to this thing yet? Are you going to SNL this thing and have like five more?
We're working on a feature film treatment of...
BP Spills Coffee. It's mostly about the cup of coffee.
Interesting. Wow, I wouldn't
have predicted. Personifying the cup of coffee.
We're spinning off Devlin's character. The guy who spills garbage.
I think we have absolutely no plans.
We have nothing.
You guys should write something again. I mean, that collaboration, it could just be luck and like fluke of resources available, but I don't know. It's worth taking another shot. Like,
if we might follow up on the Beneath Prestige videos that we had originally meant to work on.
Yeah.
That's the thing is we're going to keep working on Beneath Prestige and making that monthly stage show happen, and I think we will, because this was originally part of a larger idea to make a bunch more videos,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, which is still happening.
Right, so we're going to do that, and hopefully some of those will be. I mean, the great thing, like I've been saying in other people that I've talked to, is... it's increased the exposure for UCB comedy.
Oh, huge. The YouTube channel went from 8,000 subscribers to over 14,000 subscribers now. Every other video on that channel has had like a 25,000 to 30,000 view bump.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel Maddow told everyone that we were all hilarious and freakishly talented people.
Yeah. So hopefully the stuff that we do next and the stuff that everybody does next collectively for UCB Comedy will get more of a, will get more exposure.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all we had to say. Do we need to make any other points? Did we miss anything huge about this that's fun? I can't remember. Any other voices we should make or sounds we should do?
Can we hear from the...
The American public one more time?
Yeah, sure. They'd be like, well, that's the last seal in this envelope. Oh, man, that was the worst one.
At first, I thought you were going for, like, a circus analogy.
I thought you were going to tie in the wildlife that was going to go for a real, like, poignant statement at the end or something.
So in your head, they were just licking a bunch of envelopes and they just finished?
That's his analogy. Although the circus one would have been better. It would have been better to be like, well... Looks like the last seal left the tank. That's the end of the interview.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming on to the podcast. Check out UCB Comedy if you haven't already. Check out UCBTheater.com. Check out WillHines.net.
Check out my blog. I'm writing a lot about what shows I'm watching. And, and come back next week for another episode of this. And have fun, guys. Good luck with your next projects.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.